Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Zeta.
And we hate movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the kickoff of Listener Request Month 2014. The back end of 2014. Did we do one earlier in the year, by the way?
We did. Maybe. We did one in February.
All right. Well, so this is the back half of the month, back half of the year, rather.
Oh, why did we do it again, then?
I don't know. We sometimes like to do two times a year.
Sometimes November, we don't do it at all.
November is kind of in our programming season. It's the grab bag month. I think last year we did Stay Tuned. Maybe the year before that we didn't do anything. You know, it's just sort of like whatever. We have a couple months slated for certain purposes, but this time around we're like, you know what? Let's give them two listener request months.
Yeah, and it's totally fine. So we perused hundreds and hundreds of phone calls. So, you know, up front, before we get underway this month, thank you again to everybody who called in. It was most fantastic of you.
And it was like almost 700 or something.
It was almost 700 phone calls. And you know, if your movie doesn't get picked here, right, but then like we wind up doing it down the road, like there's a good chance you inspired us. There is a lot of stuff that was already, you know, on our to-do list.
Right.
And we'll keep watch as they go along. But first, I will say, Steve, was this a Steve Selects?
This was not a Steve Selects.
1968's Wild in the Streets, directed by Barry Scheer. This was requested by David from America, who called in and had this to say.
This is David calling from the real America. As we approach this vital midterm election, there's one issue on everyone's mind: the horrors that would be unleashed upon this country if people under 21 were allowed to vote. They'd get hippies into office, popular musicians and actors would control our foreign policy, and before long, anyone too square for them would be put into camps. Fortunately, we don't have to imagine this nightmare scenario, since it was put to film in the 1968 movie Wild in the Streets. But not enough people have seen it, and so they continue to advocate that teenagers should be allowed to vote. Please help spread the message of Wild in the Streets before it's too late.
So that's the real America. This is like Hulk Hogan, Red, White, and Blue, grade A beef.
That's another America.
Yeah, that's not this America not this in the America. Movie, not Wild in the Streets.
Or the America we record this in.
Oh, we're in Obama's America at this point. So that's
Oh my God. It's really right around the corner. Obama's America 2016.
This was written by a guy named Robert Thom, who also wrote Crazy Mama and Death Race 2000. Crazy Mama is like Jonathan Demme's like second ever feature. Like second or third feature, and then Death Race 2000, of course,
is classic.
It's Death Race 2000. Yeah,
I don't have all my records in front of me. This is probably the oldest we've gone since The Conqueror.
Since The Conqueror. Yeah, I would say so.
We've only hit the 60s once before. We've done a couple of 70s here and there, not too much. Ton of 80s, ton of 90s, a little bit of early 2000s,
a little bit of today,
a little bit of
what was the hits of today.
What
was the other 60s movie we did?
Wasn't that the Conqueror's
50s, 56.
Oh, I apologize.
I think this is our first movie in the 60s.
I mean, this is slap dab right in the middle of the 60s.
It's towards the end. It's the 60th feeling 60s movie ever.
You could smell Kennedy's corpse all over this movie.
Both of them at this point. We did the same joke, but just said it differently.
Yeah, I was going to say which one, and Andrew did it the better way.
I don't know about that, but Eric, you really clung on to this movie.
Yeah, this was an Eric Peruses.
Not a Steve Selects, but an Eric Peruses.
There were, you know, this was a tough one for me to pick because there were so many great choices.
Oh yeah,
and it's just like some of them are coming down the line. You know, don't worry about it. But this is just—it sounded so crazy, and I made a list of like ones I hadn't seen. I was like, these all sound fucking crazy. This fucking sounds crazy. How is this real? how is this something? And then I saw it, and I was like, this is fucking crazy. How is this real? How is this something? So then,
Eric whispers alone in his room at night.
I do. And so it's
Eric, do you believe this? No, I don't, Eric.
Should we really kill those people tomorrow? I don't know, maybe.
That'd be fucking crazy, Eric. That'd be fucking crazy.
Oh, God, that's fucking crazy. How does it exist? Anyway, so I selected this one.
What is this movie about? To really just like boil it down, like we used to do, like
boil it down
this movie to its essence.
Mm-hmm.
What is this movie about?
It's a movie about, it's basically a horror what's it of if children, well, like if the voting age got lowered from then 21 to 14, I suppose, is where we get to.
Well, the reasonable thing, it's like, oh, this is where it's all going to go. This is what they want. This is what they're going to get. Right. You know?
Yeah. This is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And when the kids learn to vote, and then what do? They elect a bunch of greasy hippies in the office, these psychedelic rockers.
Who aren't just about free love, by the way. They're about shutting down anyone that's not like them. So it goes both ways, right, pal.
This movie does want to have its cake and eat it too.
Oh, for
it
sure.
It does want things both ways. And that's why it's a colossal failure. Mm-hmm. And we should point out right now that the New York Times, when this movie came out, said that it was, quote, an instant classic. Whoops. That's why, in hindsight, you can't throw around things like this is going to be a classic film. What a fucking modern masterpiece. Because you know why? Fucking 40, 50 years on, someone's doing a podcast calling you a moron. You weren't as prescient as you thought you were.
Well, you know, in the moment, you see all that youth culture turmoil around you, thinking, what if these maniacs got a say in the way we govern our nation? What would happen then? You know,
it's
speed limits,
seatbelt laws.
Oh well, I never.
Well, it turns out, much like most South Park episodes, everyone's a little bit wrong. You know, like maybe both sides are looking at this too extreme.
Yeah, good call. So we open on a really, and you said this is like kind of horror-y, like the start of this movie.
Right, this is
like a horror movie.
This is Dahmer's childhood, man.
What if Dahmer played in a groovy 60s band?
Like Charles Manson did?
Right. Like, what if Charles Manson, instead of murdering Sharon Tate, if he didn't have those moments of...
Well, he had her murdered.
Right.
By his acolytes.
I apologize to Charles Manson.
Damn
the
right
The blood
you
was
will.
Not on his hands.
Just all over his shirt and beard. Oh!
I was about 5 minutes away from taking credit for reading a book that I haven't.
Oh,
because my girlfriend's reading the biography, and I was like, well, you know, in the biography. And I was like, shut up, Steve. You didn't read that fucking book.
Pipe down, Steve. Sorry, Steve.
So it's like if Charles Manson didn't do his crimes there, and he was elected president, where would we be today? And that is, well, not today. I guess where would we be in the moment? And maybe... First 100 days in office, I suppose.
Yeah. Manson's first 100 days.
What would he do in his first 100 days?
But it kind of reminds me of the beginning of The Hider in the House, this little montage of horror.
Right. Yeah, because it's all like, we open on like this weird thing where it's like fireworks going off and you hear Shelley Winters whispering and she's like, I just don't want a child. You can't make me have a child. Why would I bring a child into this world?
And also she doesn't want a boy because she's like, if it's a boy, I'll die.
Oh, I'll just kill myself.
Well, it's kind of almost like the beginning of It's a Wonderful Life, right? Because it's just these two lights talking to each other, but in the worst way possible.
Yeah, nothing's,
you're totally right.
Nothing's on camera, really, yet.
It's just fireworks and sort of like a like transparent American flag sort of waving around.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late.
Clarence, you idiot. You stupid dolt angel, you'll never get your wings.
Yeah, so she's just she doesn't want a boy, and then like we kind of flash forward a couple of years and like she's hitting this kid.
Oh, she's hitting the shit out of this kid.
Well,
you're never gonna amount to nothing. Like it's just like real creep shit.
In her defense, he's ripping all the plastic off the furniture.
Yeah. Which, like, I've seen, you know, the, like, people put, like, the plastic covers on a couch or something.
Right.
But in this movie, and I guess it's just because it was, like, 68, so, you know, it was what it was, this shit looks like saran wrap.
Yeah, it's
like
pretty
blue
gross.
Saran wrap. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why would you put this on your couch? It's just all binding up, and the sound every time you sit on that couch, the crunching. Oh, it had to be horrible.
I mean, I think we're over plastic on couches, right? We're done with it?
Well, because we've invented stuff like Scotch Guard.
We've also evolved into a more disposable culture where it's like, oh, you know, I'll get a new couch next year, whatever. Let's
just throw this fucking IKEA.
Raymore and Flanagan. Hi, my Bob's Big Store. That guy is like a skeleton with a flesh suit on.
I think these might be a little regional for our listeners.
Bob's Discount Furniture?
Is that... That's got to be regional.
Yeah, probably. Maybe. Raymore and Flanagan's national.
That's is right. It really?
What about our overseas listeners, it's a furniture store.
And for everyone else, Jennifer Convertibles. Which is not about cars or ladies.
Neither.
That's the brilliance of it.
So, like, we flash forward, Greg Brady shows up, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, Greg Brady's playing this kid as, like, a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or something like that,
I guess.
Yeah,
he's not creepy yet. Like, this kid turns creepy, but, like, when he's Greg Brady, he kind of, like, I think he gets a dog at this point, and the mother's like, I'll fucking kill it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's a really awesome part. Like, this was not a trained dog actor. Like, this was just, like, a dog that someone brought in, and it's fucking hilarious because, like, the kid is like, hey, dad, like, friends are coming over. Like, I don't want the plastic on the couch to look stupid. And the dad is like, oh, they'll say, son, you're right. Now, who is it who works around this house? And he's like, you do. That's right. And who brings in the money to buy this furniture? You do. So who would you say owns this couch? You do. Well, then let's do it. And they start, like, tearing the plastic off. And Shelley Winters runs in, like, now what's going on here? And as she does this, the dog actor gets, like, spooked.
Oh, yeah.
And totally bites Greg Brady's arm. It's so funny. And it's just left in this, like, it's like this big fat bulldog is just like, how? Takes a bite out of Barry, whatever his name is.
And Shelley Winters not only smacks the son, but also the father, right up in the face.
Oh yeah, just abuse all over the place. It's a really shitty life that this kid has. So then we flash forward again. Now he's like a teenager.
Yeah,
real interested in chemistry, making some homemade LSD.
He's like a beatnik chemist. He's got that little wool beanie on, and
totally,
he's just like
little Walter White action, little 1960s Walter White.
Yeah,
and it's kind of funny because like Shelley Winters in this movie. And it's more apparent, like, later on, but, like, she definitely has, like, a thing for this son of hers.
Yeah.
And, like, in this basement scene where he's making the LSD, she's like, so what are you doing? And he's like, I'm just making some LSD because I fucking hate you. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, you should be like a chemist that makes perfume, something that smells good, make your mother smell good. And he's like, yeah, but I'm just going to make this LSD, so could you shut up? And you're just like, that's kind of weird, Shelley Winters. I hope that doesn't really escalate it anymore of this movie.
It does.
Yeah. So then it's like he's just sick and tired of this family life.
He goes mental.
He stabs that plastic-covered couch.
Well, because he saved up $800, which I did some calculations, which I think was $1 million back then. $1.5 million.
That sounds a little more.
It was $1.5 million in the 60s. So he's like, I'm a millionaire. I got $100. So yeah, he starts slashing up the couch. He's breaking things.
But,
it's pretty twisted.
In defense of Shelley Winters and that couch, it is still in good condition while he has clearly aged at least, what, like 10 years?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that couch does have him beat.
I mean, I'm just saying it was a good investment and maybe putting the plastic on it helped it.
Well, it didn't help it when he plunged a knife into it
multiple times. No, feathers everywhere, and he, like, breaks a bunch of shit.
He's throwing lamps all over the place. Then he writes, like...
Kills that dog.
No, he doesn't kill the dog, does he?
No, he doesn't kill it. He actually gives the dog a teary-eyed farewell and says, I can't bring you, boy.
Right. And then he writes, like, mom and dad, like, I'm not going to be your slave anymore. Your son, Max. XOXO. What does he say?
It's mama, comma, papa, screw off.
Ah.
Me, XXX.
Yeah, screw off.
Screw off. That's some fucking harsh language.
It's like a harder sit on it.
And then he walks outside and tosses a car bomb into the car.
He blows up the family car.
It explodes into a fiery abyss.
This is like the beginning of Heath Ledger's Joker, I think.
I think that's how he got his start.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up. And like that's like your beginning of this movie, is this montage of this kid growing into a really weird person. And then what you don't see, he somehow magically becomes this like 60s psychedelia pop superstar
who's
like seemingly overnight.
Yeah. He's a this voiceover narration, by the way, is also like, you know, like a 1950s industrial type of.
Yeah, this voiceover narration, while it does sound like it's from an industrial film, it's also like a deadbeat dad. It fucking comes and goes when it pleases.
Yeah. So
only on holidays this son of a bitch shows up.
Reeking of whiskey and lotto tickets.
And Max Frost then became a multimillionaire after taxes, of course.
So to tell you, like, it's not just like a bullshit millionaire.
No.
Where he's only got like $500K in the bank.
Well, he's like, he's worth $12.4 million due to record sales, public appearances, and LSD money. Like, yeah, he's a fucking drug dealer.
Yeah, well, he can make the shit.
Yeah.
And we're introduced to like his posse. He's got a little posse with him, which is like his band. There's a dude who's got a hook for a hand.
Larry Bishop.
Oh, Larry Bishop, right.
Yeah,
from all those motorcycle movies that nobody watches.
Yep, that's the one and the same. Yeah,
that's the conversation Eric and I had in the beer store earlier.
I know.
Like, who the fuck is this guy?
We were at 7-Eleven picking up some beer, and I ran into Steve, and I was like, I don't know. He's a guy that wears like tuxedo shirts and rides motorcycles in the West or something.
That's Larry Bishop's bag. He had a movie come out like maybe like 3 or 4 years ago at this point, but it was like another Larry Bishop motorcycle movie. I want to say Danny Trejo may have been involved.
I'm sure he was.
Wasn't Michael Madison? Madsen.
Michael Madsen's in that movie. Yes, Hellride. Yes, that's what it was called.
It was a real Quentin Tarantino Presents situation.
It felt like it.
I feel like that's a rubber stamp. He's not presenting all these movies. He's not watching all these movies.
No.
Madsen shows up. He's like, hey, man, give me a favor.
Yeah,
it's like, give me this movie.
Give me like your 2 top stars and then like 6 IMDb keywords. And like QT's got a formula for whether or not he will present that film.
Here's the summary of Hellride on IMDb.
Oh, right.
The story deals with characters Pistolero, the Gent, and Comanche.
That's a movie I'm not going to watch.
I've seen this movie and I don't remember a thing about it.
And the deadly unfinished business among them. Hellride.
Yeah, I was more excited to be watching this movie, Wild in the Streets.
All right, let's get back to that.
He's got a 24-year-old, very important, she's 24 years old.
Yep.
24-year-old girlfriend who is, or just friend, like acquaintance.
She plays like the organ in the band. Her name's Sally or some shit.
She's a former child star, but now LSD head as
the narration comes back and be like, that one's got some problems.
This one here is spoiled goods.
And this one here is Richard Pryor before he made it.
Dude, Richard Pryor is in this movie doing the worst fake drumming of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Richard Pryor is like the drummer in this band, and you're like, you got lucky, Pryor. Thank God you were a genius stand-up comedian. My God, the acting in this movie.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, this movie's all over the place, and like a lot of these characters come in and out, but it's weird. Like, him especially, like, I mean, maybe because I was looking for him to come back.
Yeah.
He does nothing in this movie. He's got, like, every so often, like, they'll cut to a group of people, and he'll be there, and he'll be like, yeah, baby, or not. Like, it's just 50-50 on that.
My favorite Richard Pryor moment is there's, like, a scene kind of towards the middle of the movie where this singer's, like, political career is on the rise, and they're trying to strategize. And, of course, like, because the movie has to make sure they keep being dirty hippies the whole time, they all, like, sleep on the same pile of pillows.
Yeah.
So, like, these two dudes are, like, discussing political strategy, and one guy is just, like, laying on Richard Pryor's lap, and Richard Pryor's job in this scene is to just sleep through the entire scene. Just pretend you're sleeping while this guy, like, talks congressional strategy with another person.
I'm pretty sure this isn't exactly how Richard Pryor experienced the 60s BT dubs.
Yeah, probably not.
Also, there's Billy Cage. Now, he is the youngest graduate of Yale Law. 15 years old. 15
oh, yeah.
years old, and he's a lawyer, and he does the taxes for the multimillionaire.
Well, he is like foolishly Max Frost. This guy Jimmy changes the name to Max Frost. He's foolishly, his whole like platform is like, if this guy's a genius, everyone who's 15's a genius.
Yeah.
That's not how that shit works.
It's so stupid. And also, Max Frost, you might want to check this dude's backstory, because this actor ain't 15 years old.
Not in the least.
So I am not buying that this buddy of yours is 15.
And that's the thing, is they're all sitting around and they're like, oh man, being 30, I think I want to be dead before then. And I'm very clear, obviously a couple of these people are over 30.
I mean? It's like, all like, oh man, I'm just gonna end it all, man. 32 total tops. What's the fucking point after that? I just want to strangle these people.
Yeah, and it's just it just turns into a bunch of stupid shit, like oh, we need kids' rights. You know, it's like Nickelodeon in the '90s.
It's kids' rights. It's a 1968 up with kids. I hate it.
But it's like you got the important issue of people who are 18, if they're dying for the country, should be able to vote, and that's a real thing. Lower the voting age to 18, whatever.
Well, that's where this comes from. Like that didn't happen until like 70 or 71 or something like that.
Yeah.
So like they're taking the real argument like of the time and being just, like, but look what could happen.
You know, what's next if these 18-year-olds could vote? Huh? 14? 10?
It's so.
What's next? Dog voting? Is that what you want?
I kind of want dog voting.
I love dog voting. Like, step on this panel or this panel, mittens.
Oh, that just reminds me of Delocated. John Glazer becomes dog mayor. It's a good one.
But, I mean, I agree with you. And that's kind of the... I mean, like, I feel like I would have been a hippie back in the 60s or pretty damn close. You know, they had some pretty good mustaches. I'm always more 70s than 60s, FYI. It's good to know. I skew 70s more than 60s. If you know, imaginary decades that you could live in.
Right. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I just want an open denim jacket. Like, we're smoking weed, but we're not talking about pot. We're just doing it, man. We're just hanging out.
You're just doing it, and nobody's making a fucking big deal about it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the worst?
Yeah, we're just...
Hey, man, you want to just sit around and talk about how we're smoking weed, man? No, I don't.
You know what decade I skew?
What?
90s. 1890s.
Oh, wow.
That's right. I just give me my tobacco and get off my land.
Bohannon?
Oh, I'll get you in your railroad yet.
But... The weird thing is, it's like they really knew. Phil Oakes was actually approached to be this lead.
He was supposed to be Max Frost,
and he read the script and he's like, "Yeah, that's kind of not what I'm about, man." Because I mean, what this movie does is just strip that whole movement of any kind of
legitimacy,
logic. Like, because you know, it takes away any and all race elements are never brought up. Any and all, like,
no.
Like, it's just like, all they want to do is just drink their drugs and make little babies vote. And, like, that's kind of not it.
You see that? They're doing their drugs. They're making that baby vote.
You drink our LSD and you raise your baby. See if I care.
I mean, that's the thing, is that none of that stuff, I mean, the war is mentioned, but also kind of in passing. Like, it's just like, oh, man, we're just so naive and fucking stupid.
Well, that's the thing, is like, we won't talk about the war. I mean, this is fucking 68. Like, we won't talk about the war, but we'll keep talking about, like, drafting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's like as far as this thing will go. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're trying to make this, like, grand gesture about, like, what you perceive to be a problem with an entire generation, like, get specific about
shit. Well, do you think they were like, oh, take out these references to the war? I mean, this movie's going to come out in 68. It's 67. The war might be over by then.
Yeah, who knows?
They might have won it by now.
This movie comes out, the war's wrapped up, and we're screwed.
Yeah, well, there'll be a real egg on our face.
I think to a degree, it's also like this movie's put out by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and it's like, let's not ruffle too many feathers.
Right.
We'll just ruffle that feather, and her feather.
Let's just show a 60s freakout concert.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, like, we get to see this band perform several times.
So many times.
And this is just, like, the worst fucking music. It turns my stomach, this kind of music, man.
The dude who does play Max Frost is nobody, right? Like, or just kind of a nobody. He looks exactly like the professor from... Gilligan's Island a lot.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. He was a dude that was supposedly like in line to be the next James Dean, and then just like totally just vanished.
I read that he has like some type of nervous breakdown.
Oh, really?
There's apparently like an E! True Hollywood story about him.
About this guy?
Yeah.
What were the later seasons of E! True Hollywood story?
Yeah. Apparently,
E! True Hollywood stories supplemental.
Yeah, you can only watch it online.
You know, actually, you can't. I tried. I looked for that.
Right, but in for the transcript.
Apparently, he ended up being like kind of a shut-in a little bit.
Oh, really?
And I was looking through the main cast. Out of the main players.
Yes.
Hal Holbrook outlived everyone in this movie.
That's so insane.
That is outrageous.
Hal Holbrook might outlive everyone in America.
Hal Holbrook.
I would be fine with that.
Hal Holbrook is, and I didn't know this until seeing this movie. This is like... the earliest Hal Holbrook I think I've seen. Mm. He's a Walter Matthau. Like, this guy was never young.
No, he never was.
Like, in this movie, like, he's playing, like, this youngish politician who's supposed to be, like, 35 or something. Mm. He just looks like grim death. He just looks, he then looks old as shit.
Well, no, he's like a Kennedy-esque type in this movie. Like, right. He's younger, because they put him against Ed Begley Sr., who had made a career as being the least likable screen presence ever.
Oh, yeah, that guy was hated in every movie he was in.
So he's a bitter fuck.
Yeah, he never played like a humbled grandfather.
little known fact, Hal Holbrook's life story is Interview with the Vampire. He's actually Lestat the Vampire. At the end of Interview with the Vampire, when he pops up in the convertible and starts biting Christian Slater, that was Hal Holbrook.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
That's pretty amazing.
That is pretty great.
You know what I think is one underrated movie and performance by Hal Holbrook?
What's
that? Fletch Lives.
Who is he in Fletch Lives?
The bad guy, I would bet.
Yeah, he's like... That rings true to me. It's been a while since I've seen it, but yeah, he's like a son of the South type of guy.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I was going to say the only scene I really remember from Fletch Lives is when he like accidentally goes to that Klan meeting.
Yeah.
It's kind of the funniest part of that movie.
Yeah, he also wears some fake teeth at some point.
He loved disguises, that Fletch.
Well, it's the way this band operates, and I don't understand like maybe how music worked in the 1960s. Like, this band is never on tour. They're never announcing dates. They're just always playing in the line.
Because the concerts come to them, man. Hey, baby. Baby man. They say baby so much in this movie.
They
I'm going to try
baby,
to pepper it in.
And he's calling everybody his troops. Yeah. Like, the fans of the band are the troops. Yeah. Ugh.
But like
sickening.
He's just hanging out smoking weed with his friends. And he's like, yeah, man. It's just like... I just read something today. We're 52% of a country, man. 52% of the country's under 30. And they're just playing a song like 52% is less than 30.
That's why this music makes me sick, because it's exactly that. It's like we say something and it's like prophetic, and then instantly a song's written about it.
Yeah, they're never practicing. He's never scribbling.
It's no, just, like there's later in the like minutes from what we're talking about, he's like, you know what, Hal Holbrook? The voting age really should be 14. Well, 14 or fight with us. Like the song like just happens and I'm like, no, wait.
I was like, what? Ba da ba da 14 or fight.
I read that 52%. 52% of America is under 25 years old. The rest of them, babies, they're the minority. We're the majority. We're the majority. We're 52%, they write the TV shows for us. We're 52%, they design the clothes for us.
It's so terrible, the music in this.
But like, geez, man, even me at 18, I'm not going to be fighting for the rights for a 14-year-old
absolutely
to vote.
Not.
You know why? It's stupid.
That's,
it
and that's the,
and
that's
a 14-year-old should see it's stupid,
too. A 14-year-old doesn't want to vote.
No.
In order to vote, you need to have all of the mechanics of masturbation worked out. You know what? That's it. That's number. That's
well, actually, wait a second. Then 14-year-old boys would be fucking perfect for voting.
She's still figuring it out, though.
Hey, I remember my track record.
So instead of pulling a lever,
yeah, it's a,
you...
Oh, no, I had the one where I had to punch the hole. Well, they're not all lever pulling.
Right, yeah.
You
get the dangling Chad.
Yeah, I was going sort of the back route to a hanging Chad joke. Excuse me, everyone. I'll be back in the year 2000.
Oh, that's some rough country. That's a bad ride.
This is a good joke, Jack.
You sure you want to do that?
Oh, your tires will never make it. I mean, so yeah, but I mean, Hal Holbrook is this Kennedy-esque guy who's coming out. And he's like, look, I think he's running for senator. And he's like, you know, I want in California the right to vote in 18. And like, that's, and they're like, oh, dig, man. I dig that. And they're just kind of talking and like,
yeah, baby, man.
And to be clear, like Hal Holbrook is using Max Frost's band to be like, look, I'm hip with the kids. Like, you're a popular musician. Like, I mean, just like we still do now, like using actors mm-hmm. and musicians to get yeah. the youth interested in politics.
You're a popular musician that never tours and only plays in one location, and,
which
and is known nationally somehow.
Which this one location appears to be a darkened, like community college auditorium.
Doesn't matter, baby. We got the radio. It's beaming all these waves across this great land of ours.
And, you know, I think I like the music a little more than you do, Andrew, but it's all always with this fucking Lenny Bruce speech that he's got to give beforehand.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm just tapping my foot.
I hate the music in this movie so much, I would listen to a spoken word record of this jackass just bebop and scat about fucking contemporary politics, man.
And it's like there's so much for the voting rights of children that they're willing to throw every other group under the bus too. Because
oh, yeah.
at one point he's just like, you let the chicks vote, man. You let that happen. So this is going to happen now.
Like that's what they start talking about, like the fucking suffrage movement, and they talk about like civil rights, and then it's like, and now it's kids' rights. No!
No, absolutely not. Also, civil rights wasn't worked out yet, FYI.
Yeah, we hadn't dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's on that one.
Hey, baby, man, it doesn't matter, you know? We just gotta get these kids to... You know, the kids will sort it out, man.
But that's what... It's... No one bothers to... And this is actually still a larger problem with voting, where it's like, name me an issue that person you're voting for is like on board with or yeah. against. Like mm-hmm. we have a hard enough time with like adults doing that. Some fucking 14-year-old kid, you're like, all right, Sammy, you know, what is this person's stance on gun controls? I don't know, man, skateboarding. You know, it's like they don't bother to think about what they're saying. And I get it, by the way. This yeah. is all supposed to be a big, like...
nightmarish reality.
Yeah, like, oh, look
hey,
what
man,
would happen.
That's a good idea, Sammy. I'm going to replace every gun with a skateboard. Because I can do that. I'm Max Frost. I'm the president.
Not yet, you're not.
Well, once you get to voting.
So he screws over Hal Holbrook because he gets out on stage and Hal Holbrook's, like, giving this, like, televised event or
right,
whatever.
Right, he's like a rational, real person-ish.
He's the most level-headed right. person in the entire film.
And we're supposed... I mean, like, and that's the thing is I was all for the hippies, but I feel like a guy that should be against the hippies in this movie. This movie's making me hate hippies.
Well, that was its intention.
Yeah, well, it did a good job, because these fucking idiots.
So he gets out on stage, and Hal Holbrook has just said to him, like, all you have to do is go out there and say, voting age should be 18. Play your song and get off. And he's like, all right, baby man, I got it. And he gets out there, and he's like, you know what, man? I've been doing some thinking. If my little baby accountant over here can't vote, then nobody should vote.
You see that little baby over there? That baby does my taxes, man. Does them great. And I'm a millionaire, man.
And that baby's a genius. And that means, hey, man, all babies are geniuses. It's like baby geniuses. Yeah.
He's starting to make him sound like Lou Gossett Jr.
Yeah.
But so he's like, on national television, he says, so that's why I'm standing here today with Hal Holbrook. And the voting age should be 14, baby. And, like, Holbrook's jaw drops to the floor like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
Like, he fucked me on national television. Yeah. What am I going
to
do?
And he's like, and you know what, baby man? I want all my little babies to meet in the Coliseum tomorrow. 3 days from now, we're going to have a big old rally. 14-year-old voting rights. And everyone's like, oh, shit. And, like, everyone is freaking the fuck out. Like, what are they going to do with this rally? The narrator wakes up and he's like, the rally was scheduled and all of the country was terrified.
Everyone was shitting their pants.
And teenagers start to show up in droves. But why? And Friday morning, not Saturday, the day of the event. Even though Hal Holbrook and... Well, I guess he's not named Hal Holbrook.
Well, he closed it up.
Even though Hal Holbrook and Max Frost isn't scheduled to appear for another 24 hours.
And then light hits a gargoyle and Ed Begley Sr. wakes up and his bat wings fly him to Hal Holbrook's house.
He's like, man, what's going on here? I hate everyone.
Ed Begley Jr. was still in the egg, basically. Well, he was around.
He was Egg Begley Jr.
But he was,
that's so stupid.
Yeah, baby man.
I'm glad it played.
Yeah, baby man. You know, I think the little egg should be able to vote, too.
Hey, man, if you're a person at conception, why can't this zygote vote? Get out the zygote vote. I'm now imagining that egg character Sheldon from Garfield and Friends. As
I really think I should have the right to vote, you know, even though I'm just stuck in this here eggshell.
Oh, yeah, Shell, baby, you should be able to vote.
I can't wait to do Christopher Guest movies.
That sounds really groovy, baby man.
So what happens is, like, somehow or another, all these teenagers storming the Colosseum, like when anyone storms a Colosseum, mm-hmm. a fight breaks out, mm-hmm. and like a couple of kids get killed.
I don't know. That's a little later. The kids
oh, is killed. That when that happens?
Because one of my notes is finally dead teenagers. Because I was fucking rooting for it
time. I'll put the Hell's Angels in charge of security. What's the problem? Well,
because basically, Ed Begley.
We saw that fail before.
Yeah.
Give me shelter.
Ed Begley Sr. and Hal Holbrook go to his compound and
they
try and talk him out of it. They're like, look, 14 is fucking nuts. And like, could you at least maybe 15? And, you know, Ed Begley doesn't rub anyone the right way and storms off. And Hal Holbrook's like, look, this is how the world works. You got to make that guy happy because he runs California, et cetera, et cetera. You have to make a concession.
He's trying to teach him how politics work because he's a stupid kid and he doesn't understand how politics work. Because he's been fucking making LSD in his basement and never took a fucking civics class.
And he talks him down and they go up to 15. And for some reason, Hal Holbrook's okay with that, which 15's still way too fucking young.
I think it's because he's just like they are lobbying for like 16, 17.
Yeah.
Like that's what like Begley Sr.'s like, no, it's got to be at least 18. If you're not doing 18, maybe 17. And Hal Holbrook.
You know how those people are, right?
And everyone starts looking the other way. And he's like, all right, so 16. And the guy's like, no, baby man, don't forget my accountant. His birthday's next week and he's going to be 15,
you
baby.
You really tell me my baby genius? Can't figure out your voting.
I do think it's like I'm just thinking of today's modern media. Like if I don't know, let's just say Rihanna, because I don't know anything about modern music. If she's like, you know what I want to do? I want to change the voting age to 15 because of my weird acquaintance who's 15 and always hanging out with me.
Yeah,
I want her to vote. Everyone would be like, what the fuck is up with Rihanna? You know what I mean? Like, everyone would have a big problem with it.
That, I guess that's really the issue here is this guy's on LSD all the time. Maybe there should be, like, a national conversation. Like, dude, Max Frost is, like, fucked in the head.
Yeah, he's constantly impaired. He doesn't qualify to be a politician.
Yeah,
like, he can't be president. He's constantly fucked up.
And he's like, hanging out with babies, literal babies.
Yeah, and Hal Holbrook should drop him. But it's like he's become such a force of nature. Like, all these kids are so obsessed with him.
He's a beacon of hope.
It's a life of his own, yeah.
My favorite part about, like, this scene where they're having this summit at his, like, casa, mm-hmm. you know, is, like, all of these, like, stuff shirt, like, old politicians are in this room, like, watching this debate happen. And all the, like, hippies and jivers are, like, walking around him like, hey, man, you scared yet? You getting scared? Maybe you'll get cold feet. And, like sneaking up behind people and, like, getting in their face and shit. It's kind of like a scene out of The Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, why? You're tempted by our lifestyle?
The kid, the 15-year-old kid, is actually portrayed as a homosexual character because he wants to have sex with Hal Holbrook. But it's one of those, like, 1960s things where we're not going to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're like, well, we got to get him laid, man. And the girl's like, I do it. And the kid's like, I'd do it, too. And then everyone's like, ah! And then the scene's over, and you're like, wait, what are we trying to do? And, okay.
Yeah. We're all going to laugh about it and then never address it seriously ever again.
We
can't win everyone's rights in the 60s, everybody. I'm sorry.
Because the 60s, you know, we're worried about baby men votes, you know? They weren't yet, like, that good about being open with your sexuality or other real progressive issues. Because there is an instance of the F word and not the fuck word.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like, you guys, those guys.
Oh,
and
it's yeah.
Like, and it's everyone's old... laughing about it.
Yeah.
Like,
just having a big old laugh. Mm-hmm. So they have another concert. And this is the best concert.
Because the interstate gets shut down. It's like Woodstock, man.
Well,
that hasn't happened
yet. Everyone's flocking to this concert, right? And like the day before, whatever, like when that first concert had happened, Shelley Winters sees on the TV, uh-oh, like, oh, that kind of looks like our son who ran away after blowing up our car and destroying our house, you know? And so she turns it up and she like hears him singing and she's like, that's our Johnny or, you know, whatever. So they go to the venue for like the next concert. And like Shelley Winters in this movie is obnoxious. Like yeah. she's just constantly screaming and yelling. And this whole sequence is she's like, I'm his mother. I'm his mother.
Yeah.
And she's trying to like get into the stadium and all this shit. She like, they pay a ticket, like her and the husband get in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great blink and you miss it moment. But so they sit down and they sit down in their seats in this auditorium and they're betwixt this young, this handsome little redheaded fella. Turns out to be a 1968 Gary Busey, just in a totally uncredited role. So like they sit there and they watch this performance and this like, I don't know what this guy is supposed to be. It's like sort of a Jim Morrison something something.
Yeah, he's more like Neil Diamond if you, I mean.
Yeah. And like he's singing it up on stage and they're playing this song. And this is what I was talking about earlier. Shelley Winters is like watching him and they do this really weird thing where they cut between like her like looking up at him like in this awe moment and then flashing to her thinking about like when he was a baby and like a kid. And then she's like, no. Just watch him now. Yeah. Don't think about him as a baby. Watch him now. And like she's like weirdly falling in love with him as he's like singing on the stage.
Well, she also gets herself all sexy for him. Like that's the thing. She dyes her hair. She makes the husband get good looking. Like, right, like we're gonna be young and hot.
They put a toupee on the husband.
This leads to the biggest drop ball and the biggest question mark in the world of this movie.
Pretty much.
So like she's like she tries to meet him. It's like the Beatles, obviously. She has to like fight through teenage girls and finally it's like, oh, it's my mom, baby man. And he's like, oh, let's hang out. And they all jump in the car and he's like, hey mom, you can drive. We're all cool. And he's like because he's probably stoned out of his gourd. And they're driving, and like I think they start fighting over the wheel because she wants to go someplace and he wants to go someplace else.
And she's screaming the whole time.
Nah, baby, man, we're going to In-N-Out Burger, man.
And the car does a fucking barrel roll over a child.
This kid who's just like playing in the front lawn or something.
And gets killed, and like Max crawls out of the car and is like holding this kid in his arms like, I never want to see you again. And I'm like, but what about the police? What about this kid's parents? What about the press?
You just cost me a vote, man.
Yeah, I mean, like,
this little baby man could have voted Max Frost 69, man. Look what you did to that little baby man.
Again, Rihanna's mom runs over a kid and Rihanna's in the car. Her next album isn't selling so well.
No, exactly. And like, you're right. It's a drop ball because it's never brought up ever again. He just says, like, I never want to see you. Like, he's clutching this dead kid. Shelley Winters is, like, kind of battered and bloody. Like, she crawls out of the car, too.
Right.
And she's, like, just sitting there.
Well,
and then we, like, fade out. And that's the last it's ever talked about.
But here's the thing. Is like, who'd be the best at getting rid of a dead young boy? Living young boys. So he probably has his legions cover it up for him, right? Like, APB, all baby men out there, I need your help.
But this movie's only like 94 minutes long. Like, I could take a few extra minutes for them to sort of explain the aftermath of that car accident.
Baby man, I need you to take that boy and put him on the train tracks. Way down, outskirts of town. It'll be like that movie, Stand By Me, that hasn't happened yet.
And I mean, we keep cutting back to like Hal Holbrook and Ed Begley, and they're all like stroking their beards, wondering how to knock this guy off his pedestal. He's a fucking kid murderer. Like, look up the record. He's got drugs everywhere. I'm sorry, that's my ride. I gotta go. Podcast over, everybody.
But yeah, exactly. They're high up in government, so obviously, just call the police on him or whatever. Or you're high up in government. What do I know about government? They have assassins.
Yep. The CIA, the FBI. Like,
totally.
Yeah. Ed Begley Sr. is a sitting senator or something in this. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he gets one free shot.
I don't understand why they... I mean, you don't even need an assassin. Like, you just have to bring this up. Like, Why was Ted Kennedy never president? One word, Chappaquiddick. Like, yep. That's it. Like, it's like, you fucked up, Ted Kennedy. That you don't get to be president now. Like, that's how you stop that dude in his fucking tracks. It's right. Like, oh, yeah, this guy who's, like, kind of clinging on to me politically, and he's trying to make all these weird things about kids voting.
Mm-hmm.
He fucking killed a kid in a car with his crazy-ass mother.
I don't know who was driving. He says it was his mother. Who gives a shit?
High on LSD.
He wants kids to vote. What he's not telling you is he's the one killing kids.
Or you, where is Giancarlo Esposito and the rest of the dudes from Malcolm X? You know what I mean? Like, when are they breaking into the church? They're nowhere near it.
So now, like everything is in full swing now. Like, Holbrook has unfortunately, like, hitched his star to Max Frost and the Frost Tones or whatever the name of this fucking band is.
Well, that's the thing. He's a really tragic figure because he's the guy that made it all happen, man. If he didn't court that young vote, like a because they're like, I think people even like kind of call him out on it. They're like, you only want kids to vote, so kids will vote for you. And you know, like, that's obviously.
Well, yeah.
And
also, stupid idea. This is the first real instance of a politician having this stupid idea that the youth will vote.
Right.
No youth ever votes. 20-year-olds don't vote. 30-year-olds don't vote.
He also, this is the first instance of rock the vote that I've ever heard.
Pretty much rock the vote.
They say rock the vote.
Oh, do they say rock the vote in this movie?
You gotta rock the vote, babies.
Oh, Jesus.
So MTV saw this years
they
later.
They did, yeah.
The entity, the being that is MTV.
Do they say vote or die in this movie?
Maybe I missed it.
Because that would also be, like, appropriate for what's going on in this movie, for vote or die to be invented there.
That kid died.
He it did not vote. Vote or nor, die.
Yeah.
He should have voted because he died instead.
Nothing happened.
So Holbrook wins in, like, a landslide victory. Yeah. Like, you see him, like, in his car with his wife, you know, and he's like, oh, we have such cause for celebration. Like, we didn't have to wait for the concession. Like, it was such a fucking landslide. You know, everybody's getting laid tonight. Like, it's all gravy for Hal Holbrook.
And he's got, like, a 16-year-old kid and, like, two other younger kids who are kind of important, like a 10-year-old and maybe a 5-year-old girl, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, so now, like, he thinks it's like, that's it. Like, yeah. That's great. Like, now we're off. But Max Frost, like, has his own ideas. You know, he's really pushing for this. Like, he wants his little baby accountant to be able to vote at 14. So he starts, like, you know, trying to figure out, like, what can they do? What can they do? And it's this really crucial moment where Hal Holbrook's son, like, gets in a fight with him.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, he slaps him in the face. Mm-hmm. And so the kid runs off to Max Frost. And he, like, it's this awkward thing where, again, they're all sleeping on a pile of pillows and coats.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this kid walks in, like, in the middle of the night. And they all start beating the shit out of him because they think he's, like, an intruder or something. Yeah. But so he divulges this information where he's like, hey, man, you know, this congressman, like, in your district just died. He was, like, this 80-year-old nothing, you know. And, you know, it's like, well, they got to have a special vote to, like, a special election to replace him, you know. So, like, right now, you can't get elected to office unless you're 25. Do you know anyone in this circle of entourage-esque friends that's 25? And that's, like, his, like, ex-lady friend or whatever, the organ player from the band.
Sally
turns out to be 25. So they, like, again, nothing you really see. There's no, like, campaign scenes. But all of a sudden, magically, they take their same, like, you know, youth popular vote and push the energy towards Sally. Sally gets elected to Congress, and now all of a sudden there's, like, a hippie in the house, man.
Oh, man, they're going to freak out a bunch of them squares.
She
down
comes
DC
in with a tambourine, just fucking scaring people.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fake history and the real history of California was ruined by special elections.
It's true.
That's a good
point. To get some ill-equipped celebrity in the office.
So, like, Sally's in there now, and, like, this is what doesn't make any sense, is there's just a scene.
She's just one congressman.
And she's in, like, they're in the chambers, and she's like, so here's my demands, baby gents. And she starts just, like, reeling off, like, you only have to be, 14 to get elected to Congress. You only need to be 14 to be a governor, 14 to be president.
Right.
And, like, all these hippies are, like, up in the gallery space, like, hooting and hollering. I was like, How is this all getting passed? There's one of her.
Yes. One vote against
And then
everyone.
Like dozens of other old fuckers.
Well, no, isn't this when we start putting acid in people's drinks? Is that?
Oh yeah, you're right. I forgot one of the most ludicrous parts of this movie.
She basically puts it into like a bill. And she's like, this is my bill, baby. This is what's going to happen. And
then, you're right.
Like, well, that'll never get cast. And like,
we'd all have to be high on LSD for that to happen. Someone summon up Ed Begley.
And he just soars in.
Did someone call me?
It's like Charles Dance at the end of Golden Child.
He's fucking Cue the Winged Serpent.
I was just eating my bloody oatmeal. I'm not cursing like a British person. There's blood in my oatmeal. Baby blood. Baby blood. So that's why I'm against babies in the White House. There won't be a baby at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Not while I'm in charge. If a baby's in the White House, I can't drink its blood. And I want all baby blood. How do you think I survive? I'd live another day by that baby blood. I am Lestat the Vampire.
No, that's Hal Holbrook.
Oh, right. I'm
sorry. We're getting mixing up our monsters here.
Before... What was Antonio Banderas' name in that movie?
I don't know.
Who's the sexy vampire?
Oh, he's the sexiest of all vampires.
Just like
in that
Ed
movie.
Begley Sr.
That's right, I am a sexy vampire.
Because all vampires are sexy, right?
Every last one of them.
Transmitted properties.
So, right. So, there again, we're back up at this Casa Man just fucking dropping tabs, going for a dip in the pool, trying to figure out what we're going to do. And they come up with the idea to taint the entire water supply of Washington, D.C.
Well, politicians would have to be in D.C. for this to happen, huh?
Wow.
Man, but, you know what's funny? It sounds terrifying to me to taint the D.C. water supply.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's a circus. You wouldn't want to go to the circus on LSD. See a bunch of those clowns in Washington.
Those big-shoed clowns.
This may be our most political episode yet, Dylan.
But this is the stupidest thing ever, because the way they taint the water supply is just a shot of Max Frost holding a jug full of this liquid LSD that he just hucks into a swamp or something.
Jug and all. So, like, he takes special care to, like, unscrew the top, and he's like, okay, I'm going to put the top down, thank you. And huck, in goes the whole jug. And they're like, what's awesome, he's like, yeah, man, you got to get the word out to all our babies to get out of the city that day. Don't drink any of the water. That's just for all the old squares. Cut to, like, this.
But why wouldn't they drink the water? Isn't that what they do?
Yeah, why would they have a problem with it? Yeah. You're right.
Well, I mean, maybe it's too much for our babies to take.
They are just little babies, after all.
Don't tell them this, man, but there is a difference between a 14-year-old's body and metabolism and that of an adult man. I just want their vote. I want the power.
And cut to Hal Holbrook doing his best Poisoned Kirk impression. Like that strained walking that where spot. I have to just kind of, oh.
Yeah, it's a clear, it's walk- Hal Holbrook doesn't know what happens when you're on acid.
He's like, he's walking around like, they're moving the camera, right? Because the ship's out of whack.
Yeah, exactly.
So in this scene, I'm supposed to act like I'm on the high seas. Is that correct? Okay.
That's what getting high is, right?
Yeah, he's just grabbing all sorts of chairs and walls.
Yeah, it's like Spock just hammer punched him in the back. And he's like, oh, I can't get from here to there.
So they were that fucked up. And somehow the vote went to the floor.
Yep. Uh-huh. And the police were nowhere to be found, FYI.
No, there's no security.
Mm-hmm. None at all.
That's what most of this movie, by the way, it pretends like political security isn't a thing at any point.
It also pretends like the actual voting on laws matter because, you know, it's not like, well, sorry, you voted on it. That means it's law forever.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, when you sober up, you're going to be like, what the fuck is this chicken shit scribble? Fuck this. And you toss it out a window.
And there's a fucking president that could just veto that shit anyway.
Exactly.
So they get this thing passed, and then all of a sudden, like, kids can be president. Because, right, that's what everybody loves. We love that little kid president who's like a YouTube sensation.
Yeah. Wait.
We would just love it if there was a kid in the White
House.
Hold
on a second. There's a little kid president?
There's like a, it's like an internet sensation. There's just a little kid. He's kind of like sassy.
And he says he's the president.
It's like... It's like, oh, if I was president, I'd do this. Then he says something cute and, like, you know, snappy.
Oh, I get you.
He's like a hilarious child.
Well, guess what? I'm not going to vote for these voter rights for these kids. Something like that. Some little sassy kid in the
Waff. I mean, it's the same kind of thing, right? Here's what it is. It's like
John Wilkes Booth.
It's like, hey, kid president, is there a law that you wouldn't veto? And he's like, I wouldn't veto chocolate pudding. And they're like, oh, thank you, kid president. Like, that's what kid president is.
Okay, I take it back.
So anyway, next thing we know, Max Frost is now launching a campaign to be president.
Yep, because I guess it's November, and I guess it's a presidential year.
The timing is just, it's all working out for this weird LSD scam.
And that's the thing, it's not like years are passing, because he's 24 in the beginning of this movie, and he's 24 at the end of it. Very specifically 24.
It makes no sense.
Even though the actor's probably 32, but just, you know.
Can we just briefly talk about, there's certain instances where we're just like, it's the landscape of Washington, D.C., and it's just like a translucent ghost-esque figure of Max Frost singing songs, like doing his little routine.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, because he's still a musician at heart.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is he hasn't forgotten the music.
No,
it's very important.
Well, that's why, you know, I would have loved it if, you know, Reagan kept up acting while president, you know, like
that would have been something, right?
One of these songs was like number 22 on the charts, and it was like, obviously, like, none of these people did the music. Like, Richard Pryor certainly was not playing the drums. So it was just a bunch of, like, studio musicians. Like,
yeah, this was a soundtrack film. Like, yeah, this soundtrack album did sell.
Yeah.
Great. Another sign of the times. The shit music charted.
And then here's something that means absolutely nothing to this movie, which is he runs as a Republican, and it's like, oh, man, baby, I don't want to run as a Republican, but the Democrats hate my guts.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Okay, and like it doesn't do, like there's nothing, like he doesn't have to do, like it's not House of Cards where he's got to do this deal to get that deal, and like maybe he's gonna take.
No, they barely know what the difference is in this movie.
The Republican primary where a lot of states only a Republican can vote.
Yeah.
I guess you get enough baby men signing up as Republicans.
Well, that's forget, Eric, they are the 52%. 52% of the country's population is under 30.
You know what else we can't forget? They are the future.
But that's a great point, though, and that's something that I had a problem with. Like, so I feel like if I was 14 and this shit was going on, I'd vote against this clown. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not all 14-year-olds are going to be into this. Some 14-year-olds, A, listen to their parents, and B, like, a lot of them do. You know what I mean? Counterculture wasn't every kid in the world. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, that's even in Hal Holbrook's own family. Like, the oldest son goes off and he joins Max Frost and his whole campaign or whatever. But then there's, like, the younger son, who's like the logically thinking one, he's like, but dad, like, you know, you and I, you know, we always, I guess they joke in the family, like, because the parents are so young that, like, the kids are, like, almost close enough to be siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, Hal Holbrook. But, like, so he's like, yeah, dad, like, you're my friend, but I understand that, you know, you're older than me and you're more experienced. And because he says, like, you know, like, you're a better fisherman than I am because you've been doing it longer and shit like that. So there are, like, level-headed kids. So you're right. Like, not the entire 52% is going to be like, yeah, kid power.
Exactly. So that means, like, let's say you get 40%. That means the other 60% is clearly going to vote against you because everyone's like, who the fuck's this clown? You
know? See, like, this music sucks. I'm not going to vote for that guy because that's the other thing, right? It's 1968. Not everybody was listening to this fucking hippie psychedelia shit pop rock. Okay.
No, absolutely
the
not.
The worst music of all time. You know, kids were listening to other things too.
Yeah.
And so you could even base it on that, like, oh, that guy that writes the terrible songs about stuff he was doing the day before. No, I don't want to vote for that guy to be president.
Also, I'm 14 and I have literally no interest in voting, so I'm not going to show up.
Yeah, I just love this. Like, it's the fear they're trying to strike in this movie only works under the assumption that, like, kids give a shit about politics,
mm-hmm.
which they don't.
Well, I mean, they're storming the Capitol. They're running all over the steps. It looks like Battleship Potemkin meets Kent State.
Oh.
A couple of kids get greased at some point because they're, like, doing a rally and, like, I think it's before they get the vote, and it's like before they figure out the great acid plan.
Yeah.
And like the narrator's like, hello, everyone, I'm back. And by the way, there's a big rally, and it's going to be, oh my God, here they go. And they like rush the steps, and they get fucking iced by like four or five cops. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, that's it. You were out of line. You know?
I mean,
storming the Capitol building, you know.
Shit's going to happen.
This is also
fuck
where he's
around,
like,
get hurt.
He's like, they took four of us babies. They took four of our babies away. I was like, shut up, Max Frost. So, again, you only care about it's four voters that were taken away.
Oh, my God. And then there's a scene where Hal Holbrook's son confronts him about like the politics of the time, right, man?
They somehow just get to meet in like Capitol chambers.
Right.
No one else is around.
And the son has this line about like there won't ever be wars again. We know that. Like, not any big ones. Like the people, you know, Vietnam is the be all and end all, and there won't ever be a war again because we've learned our lessons.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they also like want to get foolishly, these fucking idiot kids want to get rid of a foreign policy altogether.
Which is awesome. They just want to be like, what, isolationist China? Like, what are they saying?
In one narration line, once Max Frost wins the presidency, he disbands the military. You know what? I don't think you get to do that as commander-in-chief. I know you're commander-in-chief, yes. But I think if you're like, well, that's it. I'm getting rid of the Army, Navy, and Marines, and... Well, guess what? Now we have a military dictatorship because you're dead.
I'm going to sign this little piece of blue paper and I'm going to mail it to the military and they're going to all go away.
Oh, I guess, I don't know, the director of the CIA is the president now. Great.
Where is the fucking crooked, cruel CIA that I've been looking for this whole movie? Silver-haired, black glasses, no smiles, and terror.
Even the FBI, J. Edgar was bopping around D.C. at this time. He would have fucking had all these kids on stretchers.
Oh, yeah.
They have some line about, like, they're trying to figure out, like, what can we use against all these old bastards? And some dude says something about, like, well, you know, man, I bet J. Edgar's got a bunch of stuff in his files. And it's like, oh, we're going to dig through, like, FBI files and use dirt, like, on people? Because Hoover's just going to turn that shit over to some pimply-faced 17-year-old kid.
If there's enough pimply-faced 17-year-old kids, he'll have no choice. Or maybe they'll, you know, do a little favor.
A couple of favors. So he runs as a Republican, which means nothing. Like, you would think, like, you would have to make a deal. Nothing.
As if the rest of that national party, like, just didn't have anything to say about it. They're like, yeah, you can run as a Republican. That's fine. You'll be our presidential candidate. Fine. It's like letting fucking Jesse Camp run on your fucking ticket.
Oh my God. We tried Mitt Romney. How about former MTV VJ Jesse Camp?
That's what the kids want these days. They have a file from like 2003.
They just take it, blow the dust off. Says here, Jesse Camp's our man.
Open in case of youth emergency.
Well, it says right here, he's even more popular than Dave Holmes and Carson Daly. I mean, sounds like presidential material to me.
That's pretty popular.
So, like all presidents do the day after they get elected, right? Because we all know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
They give a State of the Union address.
Sure, why not?
Because that's just how this works, right? So, like, he's like, well, I was elected president. That's great. Cut to, well, it's time for the State of the Union. And he, like, walks in. And all the hippies are back up in the gallery, and it's like all these like grim faced old men are just like, how did we ever let this happen? And he just starts talking all this like shit, and this is where he's like, I'm disbanding the military. We're just giving away like hundreds of tons of free grain to third world countries.
Right? Yeah. And I'm being impeached.
Yeah. Like all this shit. As if we don't have checks and balances in place to destroy presidents like this.
BT dubs, I'm going to make relocation camps for when you're 30, you're mandatorily retired.
Yep.
When you're 35.
Oh, I like the sound of this.
We'd already be living in Florida.
I didn't think it happened, but I'm voting Republican.
And when you're 35, you get sent to an education center, baby, where you do LSD all the live long day.
They put you in a concentration camp where they pump you full of LSD till you're a fucking zombie.
Against your will, and you have to wear like these matching blue robes and stuff.
Now, here's the thing I don't get, is they say when they're giving like the election results and they're like, Max Frost has swept this country, except and surprisingly, the state of Hawaii. And you're like, that's weird. Like, what are you trying to say there? I don't get that. But then, in retaliation for him not taking that state, President Max Frost is like, oh, and by the way, that whole state of Hawaii, they're just getting jacked with LSD right now, 30 or not. And they just turn like the state of Hawaii into like this weird LSD colony.
Speaking of wild in the streets, why aren't there riots in the street? Like, the second, like, first of all of your troops at this point would have to be under the age of 30. So I'm thinking everyone, the military is coming after you. The fucking Chicago Bears are coming after you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are
Super Bowl
big,
shovel off of your face.
There's some big dudes over the age of 30 that's not going to take this too lightly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, you disband a military. They got nothing else to do, and they're ready to rumble.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, you get, like, a gaggle of pissed off Navy SEALs. They're coming for you, Max Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think they're not coming for you. Speaking of coming for you, during this speech, during his State of the Union, like Hal Holbrook just cannot stand it any longer.
Oh, I love this.
And he just starts carefully like pulling this gun out of a desk drawer. And I was like, oh, do it.
Yeah,
I know. Make him a martyr. That's fine. As long as he's not in this movie anymore, I'm fine with it.
But fucking Jitter Nerves has to take the gun out super slow. He's got to look at the gun, look at him, look at the gun, look at him. It's like, come on, just fucking do it.
You coward. Just assassinate this president already.
You got to Jack Ruby that son of a bitch. It's got to be in your shirt.
Yep.
You got to go up like you're about to shake his hand, and then you go say, hey, Oswald, man, 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 and then you're done.
Exactly. It's like, you know, like you maybe start up, maybe get a little friendly with him, you know? It's just like, I'm so glad I could introduce you to the world of politics. It's going to be so great working side by side with you. I know I'm going to have to retire in 6 months.
You know what you do? You hand him a little drink and you say, you know, we're not so different, you and I.
Yeah.
And then you get him.
Yeah, it's in your shirt. It's not in your dresser. It's not.
And right before you do it, you turn to the camera and you're like, he thinks that I'm his friend right now. What he doesn't know will kill him. And then smile and then turn back to your conversation with him.
Oh, yeah.
That's how politics works, right? Everybody's talking to cameras.
I mean, Shelley Winters goes mad pretty quickly, right?
Oh, she goes off the deep end.
Well, because, I mean, like, she kills this kid, right? And they check in with her periodically throughout the movie because, I mean, really, it seems like a thing where, like, clearly she's the biggest star in the movie, and that they just
give her something to do.
They had to justify her being in the movie, you know what I mean? So they come back to her, and she's like, "Oh, you know, on my son's advice, I'm way into LSD now," and like, you know, she's all hippied out herself.
She's been seeing an LSD therapist, like Mad Men.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty great. And the dad is like a vegetable for some reason.
He's just
like smoking weed silently. Like, he can still move.
You know, if this was happening, I think you'd be doing the same.
Yeah, no, I'd be really embarrassed.
You just like, oh, my smoking son, weed by yourself.
My going, son did what? Yeah, no, I'm silently just toking up.
I'm sorry, we gotta backtrack for a second and talk about this scene where Hal Holbrook goes mental on his family.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It is so fucking great. Oh, my God. Because when he was having that conversation with his son ends up saying that he's part of that alcoholic generation.
Right.
And that's like that's all their problems is because old people like alcohol. They don't like LSD. That's where it stems from.
Well, it's like you make all your decisions while you're fucking drunk. That's why we're in the position that we're in.
So Hal Holbrook gets fucking piss-ass drunk.
He's proving his kid right.
He's stumbling around, and one of the lines he says is, "We pour napalm on our own troops. Why? Because we're drunk."
Oh, and he starts ripping some posters, which is what I love.
I love
when a dad is pissed off and it's time for the there's not enough posters in this house for him to rip. That's his problem tonight.
It's so awesome. And it's like any poster with a picture of a person under 30 is coming down.
He starts ripping everything, and then he has the drunken slurred line of like, from now on, you read nothing but Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, yeah, he's yelling at, like, a four-year-old child.
Or Little Women. Read Little Women.
He's, like, crying, like, Little Women. You're going to read Little Women. You're going to stay young forever.
And then his youngest son turns to him and goes, I hate you, Daddy.
Oh, that stings.
I think that's why he wanted to kill What's-His-Face.
Yes, that's before the assassination. Yes.
The fucking piss-poor assassination attempt.
Can't even call it an assassination
But he
attempt.
Actually... He,
assassination thought.
He runs off, and yeah, this guy's like fucking John Hinckley with a fucking even slower hand, you know what I mean?
Well, then, like, after that, after the assassination attempt, like, he runs off, and they're like, he'll be back, or like some yeah. shit like that, and he like rounds up his family, and like they go on the lam for a little bit.
Yeah.
They're totally caught, like, instantly, though.
They're tending to like a farm in the middle of the woods. They like have retreated from society.
Yeah, they totally
which is where
did.
I would be.
Oh, you'd have to. A real Ted Kaczynski situation.
Until teenagers dressed as Nazi stormtroopers, yeah. basically.
With black hats with question marks on them, like they're in the Riddler's gang.
Oh, a lot of this.
Some
I mean,
of them have peace symbols, too. What's that about?
A lot mixed of this, messages.
Just because of my skewered view of the 60s, a lot of this does look like the old Batman show. Like any of the fighting that's going on, some of the LSD scenes, I'm like, where's fucking Frank Gorshin?
It might have been the same fight choreographer.
It probably was.
Batman the Show and Wild in the Streets.
Speaking of comics, apparently in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, there's a line or two about Max Frost having been the U.S. president.
Yes.
So... this is a shared universe with that Sean Connery movie, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So in the world of Wild in the Streets, there exists a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, James Bond, Captain Nemo. Like, they're all there, dude. They're all there.
They're all hanging out.
And they're all too old to live.
They're all somehow...
Well, that's why they're in Europe, right? Or something.
They're all terrified of the demon bat Ed Begley.
That's something they don't really address, though, except very briefly, because like the president's giving a press conference, and just like any other politician, once he's in office, he's flip flopping on everything.
Yeah,
because they're like, you know, Mr. President, there's a lot of people over 30 out there who are passing for under 30, and he's like, yeah, baby, but you know what? If they can pass, they must be cool, right? And they're like, okay, Mr. President, you know, and
the
then like
that
they,
one.
They present him with like some other problem, and he's like. Yeah, but if they're doing that, that probably means that's what they do. They totally start invoking more fucking Holocaust shit because they're like, you know, Mr. President, there's a lot of people over 30 who have been hiding in attics.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, but think about it this way. If they're hiding in an attic, they can't really harm this country, right, baby? And I'm like, no, dude, your platform was eradicate these people. Yeah, fucking step two. get these people in the LSD camp that you promised.
I'll see. Just picturing you in Germany in the 30s or 40s. No, you said.
Don't backpedal now, Hitler.
Look, we're either doing this or we're not doing this. I'm not even saying I'm for it. I'm just for sticking to our guns.
Last Tuesday, you said we would.
No, this back and forth horse shit, Hitler. You're either in or you're out. God, that Adolf, man. He's such a flip-flop.
And I'm just imagining, like, you yelling at Hitler. Hitler has his finger on his lips. Like, I don't know.
Wow.
Sound like such a hot idea.
That's right. The devil on Adolf Hitler's shoulder was Andrew.
Yep. I buy it.
Fair enough. Oh, so also Hal Holbrook is lynched.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
That's
no,
what happened.
I think he kills himself, does he?
Yeah, I think.
Does he?
He gets, him and his family get put into the concentration camp, and they get all hopped up on LSD, and he's got some really weird looks in his eye, and then you see it.
Oh, I thought
he's hung
was,
himself.
Oh, I thought they were like, because you attempted to assassinate President Cool.
You're going up. President Cool.
Hey, baby man, just call me President Cool.
Well, so he's dead. And, like, the movie is, like, essentially over. Yeah. There's no real, like,
oh, by the way,
ending to this movie. But
there's
yeah.
some world events going on, you know? Because what is going on in the world? Mexico, Canada, and Cuba are all predicted to fall in their own teen revolutions.
Of course.
Right.
Russia, the Soviet Union,
yep.
comes apart. thanks to Max Frost
and his fucking song. Yeah. It's the song. They say something about like his song 52% has been like at the top of the Soviet charts.
Yeah.
And the curtain comes down.
How the fuck they let that shit in? Yeah. But also, now let's get really racist for a moment.
Oh no,
we haven't
been there
yet.
This is, I mean, we didn't say the homophobic line.
I know, but what is going on in Red China?
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, let's call it Red China because that's okay.
Yeah. So
you're not wrong.
Apparently, the teen youth movement there has started to take up this slogan: "We don't want to be no yellow peril."
It just, you know,
they're describing themselves.
No, they wouldn't. First of all, they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
I said before, this movie was written by someone who was born in the 1920s.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's why that's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's also based on his short story that he wrote after being born in the 1920s.
He's like, what do Asian people like to call themselves? Oh, probably the stuff I used to say in the war to my service buddies. Probably
close
that
enough.
Stuff.
That's how they identify.
I mean, the thing is, and that's the point, that this was a bad short story, and you could tell. And it's like reading a bad Shouts and Murmurs, where you're just like, oh, is this really a full page?
Shouts and Murmurs can be amazing.
Yeah.
But when you get a bad Shouts and Murmurs, I want to throw the whole magazine in the garbage.
So, yeah, this was based on a short story.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. That was also expanded into a book, apparently.
Right. And then a movie. All written by a guy who was born sometime in the 1920s.
And the thing is, my big beef is, you know, a punchline is coming. Like, yeah. And I hate this in movies. I hate like when you're just waiting, you're just turning the pages, like you're tapping your foot at this point. Like, but then what's the kicker? Like, I know we're not building towards a climax. We're not building towards a resolution. We are building towards a punchline.
Yeah.
With this kind of material, you could smell it coming a mile away.
And it comes right after this. And before we get to it, one thing, speaking of racism, you reminded me, one of the other things that they say when they're interviewing this president and he's talking about the addicts.
Yeah.
They're also like, Mr. President, do you have anything to comment on the creation of, shall we say, underground railroads?
Yeah.
Like, oh, ugh. Born sometime in the 1920s, this guy.
Just shut up. And Shelley Winters goes, and she has her own horrific end.
Oh, yeah, she does.
I'm young. She's being dragged away. And then she's one joke line, I'm Aryan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, wrong move.
Holocaust, you get it yet?
About fucking 40 years too late for that one.
Well, at the end of the movie, right before the punchline comes, she's trying to climb out of the camp.
Right.
And she starts singing My Country Tis of Thee. And it's like supposed to be, I guess, poignant and horrific, but it's just sad.
And like they pull her down off like the razor wire, and she's got like, you see her like bloody hand fall back into the camp.
That's what you get for smoking your drugs and listening to your music and not doing your fucking homework.
But it's certainly not punishment for running a child over with that car, because we've totally forgotten about that.
So President Cool eradicates the Secret Service, and he's like driving in a convertible, and they have this line, like it's the guy comes back from he got done narrating hamburgers and you, like he comes back and he's like, now the President Cool has eradicated the Secret Service, allowing him to move much more freely and coolly throughout the country. And he pulls over.
Yes, Chrysler cars.
Yeah, baby man, I like the way it handles.
He pulls over. There's like a dock or some shit.
Well, this is before this. There's this weird scene where he's putting a kid to bed. I guess he either has children's. He's at some squat somewhere, even though he's the president.
Sleeping on pillows and blankets, man. They do make reference earlier in the movie to like, they're like, oh, man, how many kids do you have? And he's like, two I'm responsible for, but that doesn't mean it's only two, baby. So it's one of question mark number of children.
So he's like trying to get his son to bed, and his kid's like, I don't want to fucking go to sleep. And he's like, he's like, you got to, baby, because I told you to. And it's like, you know, what does the kid say? How's it go?
I don't remember what the kid says.
Oh, no,
Is this the...
Yeah, well, he's like, well... Well, how old?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, how old are you? And he's like, I'm 24, baby. The coolest age there is. And he's like, that's old. And he's
that's
like,
old.
My God.
You call me?
And he gets all flustered, and that's why he's got to go for this drive.
Yeah, he's going for a drive.
Right. So
got to go clear my head.
Yeah. So he pulls over, because the president can just pull over. Like, he pulls over, right? And there's, like, a dock or some shit.
The most hated president in history, BT Dubs.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like a shitty, weird pond.
Yeah, and he pulls up, like, a bait thing, and there's a little, like, crawfish.
Yeah.
And, like, he puts the crawfish bites him. And he's like, oh, yeah, crawfish? Well, I'm 24 years old. And he steps on it and kills it. And then these kids come out, and they're like, what the fuck did you do that for? Like, that was our pet.
That was our crawdad.
You know, his name's Harry or whatever. Like, why did you do that? And the whole time he's having these flashbacks of, like, you're old. It's like they keep just superimposing the kid. Old. That's old. That's old. That's old. And he's, like, going mad just thinking about
this
child.
What did you say to these kids? What are you going to do about it?
And they're, you know, I don't remember what they say in response to that. But then he's like, he walks away. I think that's what it is. He's like, what are you going to do about it? That's what I thought. Nothing. And he gets back in the president mobile and speeds away. And then the kid, like, there's a gaggle of little kids. And he's like, oh, man, old people or something like that. Yeah. And he's like, what is it? It's like something.
He turns to the camera.
Yeah.
And he goes, we're going to put everyone over 10 out of business.
Oh, out of business. That's what it is.
You ain't big enough to beat me up, are you?
We're gonna put everybody over 10 out of business.
Dun, dun, dun. And then apparently the sequel to this movie is The Country Becomes the Town from Children of the Corn. Because I guess so. And that's the end of it.
Everybody needs a fucking science class that understands how aging works. You're 10 now, you're going to be 14 in 4 fucking years.
Well, I mean,
24, you're going to be 30 in 6 goddamn fucking years.
Oh, no, that's forever, man.
That is Daddy, forever,
that
baby.
That is like forever. But 18, going to give the vote at 18? What's next, 14? Oh, might as well be 10 years old.
They might as well marry goats. Oh, if we're going to give the gays the right to vote, we might as well give the gays the right to get married. They might as well have sex with children and goats and zygote the vote. Zygote the vote.
This 10-year-old's going to marry a goat. But I guess that's okay under President Cool. I guess I'm just so lame.
I'm going to take my gargoyle wings and go get them clean.
He just flies off.
Eddie Murphy's after my idol.
And then when Eddie Murphy finally shows up and defeats Ed Begley Sr. and he turns back into a stone gargoyle, great ending.
Yeah, oh, it's a great ending.
It would be much better than the ending of the movie, which we have just described to you. And then there's like an American flag just comes up on the screen and like each actor's face is where like the stars should be.
Right. I mean, I was hoping for a big red text that says, do you get it? Just to be like... It's propaganda, man, and not even the cool kind.
It's like so poorly done and so clearly over the top that it doesn't. I mean, I'm trying to like, okay, something like Reefer Madness, right?
Yes,
like that's also over the top, hilarious fucking propaganda. But I guess the difference is, I'm wondering if the difference is because like with Reefer Madness, it worked, one, which is insane, but it worked and it made people fear marijuana.
Sure.
But did this movie like work the same? Like, were people scared of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't give 18-year-olds the vote? Maybe it should be 21 for
I
no
don't
reason.
Think so. I don't think people.
You don't think anybody was like seeing this movie like, oh my goodness?
Maybe two people.
One of them was Ed Begley Sr.
I told you.
Yeah, I just can't see anyone taking this.
Dad,
seriously.
I can't wait to be in movies.
Get back in there, Egg Begley Jr.
Whatever you say.
His time was right around the corner.
It was, yeah.
70s, he sprung those wings.
Those acting wings.
Those baby bat wings. Because he would be part gargoyle by our math. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And that's this movie. Like, what an insane piece of, like, confused propaganda. Like, if you're going to try to, like, use bullshit to scare people, do it right.
Yeah.
Don't make Wild in the Streets. Should have gone back to that horror movie narrations. More Shelley Winters. I died in a concentration camp because you made me have that boy.
Well, I kind of figured the ending would be like her horrific end. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not this sort of, he kind of did the math and realized he would be 30 pretty fucking soon.
Right.
What an asshole, man.
Like, that's seriously.
It just, like, yeah, it makes no sense. You know, buy a fucking calendar.
You know how this movie should end, by the way, is much like how The Omen ends, mm-hmm. where Gregory Peck is racing to murder a child in a church.
Oh, yeah.
It should be on Shelley Winters to be like, I created this monster.
Yep.
I have to put a stop to it. And then it's like this woman assassinating her president cool son.
Yes.
Like, that's how you do it, right? Yeah. Like, he's giving, you know, maybe it's like 4 days after he was elected, so he's going to give his 100 days progress report, because that's how we work the president's timeline in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like giving that, like, my first 100 days, and he's like assassinated, like, right there, just getting it out of the way. And, like, that's the end of the movie. And it's like,
that'd be cool. Or if, like, Richard Pryor has been secretly 29 this whole time, like, he didn't tell anybody, because, you know, he's hanging out with his young friends, and he's like, oh, fuck, it's going to come to light. I'm going to go to one of those camps. I better shut this shit down.
That's what you needed in this movie. Yes. A scene where one of the gang,
yes.
like the entourage, has the 30th birthday.
Yes.
And it's like, but guys, I've been with you like from Jump Street. Like, come on. Like, you know,
I'm still the same
friends.
Cool dude. Yeah.
Sorry, man. You aged out. Like a real fucking Logan's Run situation. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Then Richard Pryor's like running for his life because he doesn't want to be hepped up on LSD in a fucking camp.
I think the movie should have ended with the military doing a coup, taking over to be like, you don't understand, you kids. There's robots from outer space coming down. Because why not?
At this point, it's just... And then you could end the movie because you're trying to create this big propaganda piece being like, right. If 18-year-olds get the right to vote, alien robots will come from outer space and take over the world.
And what's next? Are you going to have a robot vote? Do you really want a robot to vote?
Oh, I don't even want to get into robot rights, man. No, that's a whole other jar of worms. Mm. Would anybody recommend Wild in the Streets?
I wouldn't. Uh-huh. I mean, I think it's a cultural artifact for sure. It's definitely interesting in a lot of ways of like what people were afraid of and like what they also weren't ready to combat. Like the civil rights movement isn't at all talked about. Like the real important
yeah.
the 60s stuff. You think about like what hippies actually got done or helped get done at the very least
yeah.
is never broached. But, you know, it's kind of a slog for me because you get really ahead of this movie really fast. You know exactly where it's going. You're waiting for the punchline. You have an idea what the punchline is, and then it just sort of happens.
Yeah.
Well, Steve is wrong.
Sure.
And everyone should see this movie, especially you babies out there. But it's just so – I think it's just a seeing is believing just because it's just so insane of a premise.
I guess I'm kind of like split down the middle because like I agree with Steve where it's like you know what this is.
Right.
But at the same time, like those sequences where they're lazily poisoning the water supply and things like that. I'd say you should watch this movie. But like I've said this entire episode, be prepared for some of the worst music you've ever heard in your life. This is some of hands down the worst music I've heard in a movie.
Oh, and I just realized if you're listening to this on the day it's released, November 4th.
Get out and vote.
Yep.
Rock that vote.
Rock that vote.
All my babies, all you 14-year-olds. I don't think 14-year-olds should listen to this show, FYI.
Yeah, no. Turn this off, wash up, and go to bed. But, hey, man, if you're of age to vote, man, find the coolest candidate you can, man, and just throw it behind him, man.
That's Wild in the Streets from 1968, directed by Barry Scheer. If you want more information about We Hate Movies, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We're at WHM Podcast. Right into the mailbag, wealllhatemovies@gmail.com. What's your favorite ridiculous propaganda film? Rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get the program. We would greatly appreciate that, of course. Make a point to do that. Takes 2 seconds, you know. It helps us out. Doesn't take a lot of time out of your day. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, clue for next week's episode. Dolphin.
Ooh, dolphins, huh?
Dolphin, yeah.
Nice.
See what we can do with that. Yeah, so Listener Request Month rolls on next week with something about dolphins. And be sure to check out whmpodcast.spreadshirt.com. Until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Eric Siska.
Steven Sadek.
Take it easy.